Titus chapter 2, I will start reading in verse 1. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Let older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Let's pray. Holy Father, as we come before your word this morning, I pray, Lord, that we would see the significance of the fact that what we read and we hear here is not from man, but it is from you. It is directed by you. It is what you provide for us that we may find our lives safe from the contamination of the world, safe from the contamination of our own hearts, deceitful as they are, safe from our own opinions and attitudes. As we read in the psalm earlier, Lord, teach me your commands. Teach your commands that we may honor you, we may glorify you. I praise you, Father, for this opportunity this morning. Please open our ears. Help us, Father, honor you, glorify you in the way we listen and the way we act. We thank you, Father, in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. This morning we are continuing in Titus, and we are still on the command for women to not only love their husbands, but to be taught to love their husbands. We have the flow of thought, the context here, that this is all about learning. This is all about being transformed by the Word of God. Being transformed in a way that we not only glorify God, we don't only honor God, but in God's prescriptions to us, it gives us a safe place. You know, I can talk about myself and I can look back on my life and I can see how many times my own opinion, my own ideas, my own desires have gotten me into extreme trouble. And it was because I forsook the Word of God. It's because I didn't see the absolute value of the Word of God as it bears upon my own life. When we look in the Word of God, we can see the Word of God as nothing more than a set of rules that bind us, that restrict us from having all the fun we want or whatever else our ideas are. But there is only one person who knows what is good. There's only one who knows what is safe. There's only one that can truly tell us what love is. And that is God. Our opinions, our presuppositions, they get in the way and they cause us pain. Do you ever wonder why we suffer so much? And I'm talking about within ourselves. I'm not talking necessarily about the general suffering that we go through in this world, because we're going to suffer. But how does that suffer become alleviated? How is it that James tells us to consider it pure joy when we suffer? Well, it's because if we if we rely, we trust. In other words, we don't question God's prescriptions for our lives. No matter what it seems to feel like, as a matter of fact, when God's word comes against our presuppositions, comes against our ideologies, that is God doing you a blessing. I want us to think about this for just before we get into this, to continue on the idea of a command that women are to love their husbands. And they are to be taught to love their husbands. They are to be taught from the eldership and from older women who should understand what it means to love their husbands. But here it even talks about the elder teaching the older women so that they can teach. So, you see, that's the life of a believer, is it not? If you're sitting out there right now and going, I don't need to learn anything else. I understand everything there is about marriage. I understand everything there is to know about raising children. I know all of it. I can assure you, you don't. I've been studying the Word of God for years. And I can assure you, I don't know everything. As a matter of fact, I can probably assure you, I know a whole lot less than what I think I know. And so we've got to embrace God's word. And we're dealing with topics here that don't go over well in the culture around us. But they don't. But we have to embrace God. Because listen to what he says here. Now, in verses 3-5, I want us to understand that this is one sentence. One sentence. And there is a prevailing aspect of everything that's said here that's wrapped up in the very last phrase. Now, in its context, being a single sentence, we recognize that this phrase is, in this context, speaking of women. It is speaking of women. We can't walk away from that truth. That's what God says. But this is true of all of us. Men, women, married, single, it doesn't matter. This should be at the heart of our studies. This right here. And everything that implies. We should seek to honor and respect and glorify God in submitting ourselves to this, to God's word. Because if we don't, listen to me very carefully. This is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the safety. The protection. How many of you in this room wants to blaspheme the word of God? No one does. But I will assure you, if you do not heed what the word of God is instructing you, you are blaspheming God's word. You're not hurting anybody else. The primary person you hurt is you. And you dishonor God. And that is the significance of what we're talking about. So when we talk about these distinctions that the scripture pulls out about men and women, and we can talk about governments and elders, and the list can go on. We can look at those distinctions. And there are through the scripture. We can't deny them. We can't denounce them. They are there. That's why the scripture is written the way it is. And I can be, we should be well assured that if we do not honor God, then we are doing the very thing that he's trying to protect us from. See, we can look at this as tyrannical. We can look at all these things as overbearing, what God tells us to do. We can look at it that way. But that's denying the reality that this is a pleasure for us. It is a protection for us. That's the whole point of all this. Because as we're talking about, as I've said already, as we've been going through this, I cannot speak of women without speaking of men. The reason behind that is because of God's created order. Woman came from man. There is a direct implication to the created order, and there is a direct implication by the commands and the representation, the reflection of those commands. Now, if I stand up in the middle of a crowd, and maybe even in this one, I don't know. And maybe that's to my error. Maybe I should know exactly where each one of you are, whether it's a man or a woman, in these matters. And I can start speaking out of Ephesians, because this is what we're talking about, right? We're talking about how a wife is to love her husband. But I cannot talk about that unless I talk about the whole of the situation of a husband and a wife. They cannot be disconnected from one another. There's reason for that. It's like trying to disconnect the church from Christ. It's not possible. There is no church without Christ. There is none. Because the church proceeds from Christ. You see the illustration that God's given us throughout history? You see, the very created order of man and woman, it's not about man and woman. It's about God's glory. And so I begin reading this. So if I just go to this verse right here, and it says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord." What? That's awful. What do you mean that a wife has to subvert herself under the husband? Let me explain something real fast. If we look at this in that way, then what we have essentially done is we despise the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, this isn't about you and me. This isn't about the husband and the wife. This is about Christ and his work. Now, we read this, and I'm gonna be pulling something out of here that you men will probably feel the brunt of this sermon today. But here's the deal, guys. It's about Christ. How do you glorify God? By obeying his word. By trusting in his prescription for our lives. And here's the problem with this verse when it's preached most of the time. Matter of fact, this is the problem with the whole aspect of Ephesians 5. I hear it preached so often, and it's preached backwards. The emphasis of this text always seems to come across to people as the emphasis on the wife. That's not the emphasis of this text. This actually brings understanding for a woman. It should give a sense of relief, a sense of protection for a wife when understood properly. Because we are not an authority unto ourselves. What we do, both as men and women, obey God. So when it says that a wife is to submit to her husband, that's not her husband's command. That's God's command. She's obeying God. So when a wife submits to her husband, she's loving God. See, that's the primary aspect of this. It's how are we loving, how are we honoring, how are we respecting God? Because if that's not the primary focus of this, a woman cannot love her husband. Nor can a husband love his wife. Because see, here's our problem. We base it on each other. I'm just going to say straight up, there is not a reason in the world that my wife should respect me, should honor me, should love me. I know my sins. See, my wife doesn't love me because of me. And we're going to talk about this a lot more in a moment. But she's commanded to love me by way of what we see here in Ephesians. And this is only one place because we can go all over the place. Because of God's appointed responsibilities in a marriage. See, I like to use the word responsibility a lot. I'm sure you've heard this. And the reason is because sometimes we can let the idea of a role, which that's not wrong. We have roles. Or a position, not wrong. Those are accurate. The problem is it gives us sometimes the wrong view. No, it's our responsibility. You see, my responsibility in the marriage is to God. So my responsibility for my wife is because of God, not because of my wife. And if we get this backwards, we make it about each other. In other words, my wife does not need to do one thing, not one, to earn my love. Because I did not one thing to earn the love of Christ. You see, it's not about me. It's not about my wife. Do you think my wife is perfect? She's just the biggest sinner as I am. But when I understand my responsibility, I don't care how ugly something may get. I love her. She's my prize. She's precious to me. If your wife is ugly to you and you despise her, you hate God. You hate God, not your wife. Because you fail to realize that you are to love her as Christ loves this church. And she is to love her husband as the church is to love Christ. And if we do not hold to this, we despise God and his work. We are shameful. I know my folly. I know my struggles as a husband. It's shameful. And we should all think about our lives in that way, because it's not that we are dishonoring our spouse. It's that when we dishonor our spouse in the way that God tells us to honor them, we are despising Christ and his work. This isn't about you. And we've got to get this right. Do not despise God. So, like I said, this is going to sound pretty heavy on us husbands. And the reason why that is because it's not only that we need to know what we're accountable for. But wives need to understand what their husbands are accountable for, because that's how they respect their husbands. That's how they love their husbands. They love their husbands in light of God's prescribed position of the husband, because of what God has made him responsible for. His authority that is not his own, but is God's. She doesn't love you, or she cannot love you and respect you because you are perfect. Because you're not. But she's commanded to love, and we are commanded to love her because of who we are in God's prescribed order, in God's representation that he uses us to show the glory of our salvation. We need to think about that. Because when we all talk about unfair, as a matter of fact, when we get into some of this in a moment, the way this gets preached, women, this isn't fair. This isn't fair. Well, if the things were preached about men more in this context, it'd be the men going, this isn't fair. And you're going to understand that in a minute. It's not fair that Christ died for your sin. Get that in your head. So we've kind of gone through Ephesians 5. So I'm going to kind of go back through it and look at this, because the main verse I want us to contend with here in light of Ephesians 5 is the last one, verse 33, because it really summarizes, in a sense, everything else that's in here. But I want us to understand what's being summarized. So when we walk through this just very quickly, therefore, well, we go all the way back up to 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the Lord's will is. Amazing how that starts, that's up there before we get to this, because Ephesians 5 is the Lord's will for us. It's not my will for my wife, and it's not my wife's will for me. It's the Lord's will. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Submit to your husbands as the church submits to Christ. That's the premise of that verse. For the husband is the head of the wife, also as Christ is the head of the church. It's very self-explanatory here of this imagery and how it should look. But see, none of you men got terrified when I read that. The women did. Oh gosh, I got to submit to that man. I got to submit to him as the Lord. I'm terrified because he's not the Lord. But you men didn't get terrified. You know what that tells me about us men? We're fools. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the one who should be terrified more than anybody in this text is us men. The women are granted to represent the church. The passive part of the relationship between Christ and his church. You men are to reflect Christ. Are you terrified yet? Are you ready for that responsibility? You know, I know a lot of you men. I know a lot of you married men. I know how you treat your wives. You're not afraid. You're not afraid of God. You know, so many times men can be afraid of their wives undermining them. You know what? They can't. Now, they may sin and they may physically undermine you, but that is what they're going to deal with God. You cannot have your authority and your responsibility taken away because it wasn't given to you by your wife. It was placed upon you by God. So stop being babies. Be men. Be secure in God. Stop complaining about your wives. Because you know what? Christ does not complain about his church. He nourishes it. How does he nourish us? He nourishes us in our sin. So when your wife sins, you better nourish her in her sin. You better be patient, because I'm telling you right now, God is extremely patient with me. You are not God. You represent the glory of Christ. And it's because of those reasons that the wife is to do what she does in a marriage. So, wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, for he is the head. I am the head of my home as Christ is head of the church. I don't even like talking about this. As I've studied this, even this week, I'm terrified. The more I study about women, the more I fear God for me. Because women are the ones to respond. Now, they're commanded to respond to God's prescription, not to my attitude. Not to my unbiblical way of doing things at times. And we can see that in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, we see, when talking of a woman and her ability to actually represent Christ in this matter. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your husbands. That even if some do not obey the word, it tells the wife to be submissive to her husband even if he's not obeying the word. Now, a wife cannot participate in his sin. In other words, if he tells her, go rob a liquor store, she cannot do that because the ultimate authority is God, and he says that's a sin. That's the only time a woman doesn't obey her husband. Because of what the representation is of Christ in his church. But listen to this for a woman. See, and I want you women to really listen to this, because this is, you want a way out? You want a way of peace? A way of glorifying God? This statement has to do with everything that followed, of course, in chapter 2, talking about Christ and how he submitted himself to God and trusted in God. Here again, a woman trusts in God with her husband. Her trust is not directly to her husband. It's the fact that God has prescribed things and she trusts God in that prescription. Yeah, it's right. Men, don't exalt yourself above your women. You do not do that. They are equal heirs. And they are valuable. But listen to what this says. Women, be submissive to your husbands in the same way Christ was submissive. Because that's what this is referring to in chapter 2. In the same way that Christ was submissive to an ungodly trial and execution. This tells you how to deal with this. What does it say? Be submissive to your husband, even if some do not obey the word. They without a word, the men may be won over without a word by the conduct of their wives. When their wife lives out the calling that he has given to her as a wife, that is spelled out very clearly in chapter 5. She's glorifying God and honoring and loving her husband in his most desperate need. Doesn't tell for a wife to fight with him, to beat him up. It tells her, obey my command about you. Let that be what wins your husband back over. See, that's the prescription. Can you swallow that pill? Can you swallow that pill? This doesn't mean you take abuse. And I need to clarify that because some people use this passage as, oh, a woman should just endure under the abuse. No. If you're being abused, you come to your elders. And if there are legal things that have to be done, we will deal with the legal aspect of it as well. That is not acceptable behavior. And no woman should have to endure that. But what did I just say? She comes to the elders. She doesn't take on a role that is not hers. She takes on her role and embraces that more and more because that's how God says it works. That's not how man says it works. It's how God says it works. It's what's good for you. You see, we miss this. We want to go the opposite way all the time with these things. And then things get worse. Why do they get worse? Because, well, nobody's obeying God. Nobody takes that prescription that God gives us. So a wife can love her husband, according to Ephesians 5, even when he is not obeying the word of God. And it's good for you. And the same thing's reversed for the man. When the wife is not loving her husband, she's not acting biblical, it doesn't change the way that he is to see his wife. It doesn't change the attitude that you should have about your wife. No matter how ugly a wife can get, because let's be honest, we're sinners. Wives can be just as ugly as the men. What does that have to do with it? Because I'm telling you right now, I'm 10 times uglier than my wife. I know my sins. And God did the work to rescue me, to save me. So, go into this. We can get to this verse that we need to spend a little time on. We see everything that's going on in here, that therefore just as the church is subject to Christ, so the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. I don't know why no one's terrified by that statement, because I am. It is terrifying. You husbands in here, are you loving your wife the way Christ loves his church? Or are you despising her because she's acting sinful? You're a great example of not acting sinful, right? No. You ought to love her and cleanse her, wash her, be patient with her. But you're not. You think you're owed something, that you deserve something, that you're higher, that you are more valuable than her. I got news for you. God created a woman because the man was incomplete without her. I read a commentary that said that without the woman, the man was not a full human. I think there's validity in that. It said that he created them male and female. Humanity was created as a male and a female. And the woman then was taken out of the man. So don't you dare diminish the value of your wife because she's been commanded to submit to you as a reflection of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't you dare terrorize your wife with ungodly demands. You have authority over your wife. You can tell her what to do, like Christ tells the church what to do. But Christ doesn't tell us anything to terrorize us. What he does for us is to cleanse us. Listen to what it says here. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. You see, the problem is you want your wife to give herself up for you. Now, there is truth in the fact that a wife does give herself up for a husband, but not in the same way. It's the same way that we give ourselves up for Christ as a church. But we don't lay our lives down for the salvation and the sanctification of Christ. He did that for us. And so we too, as men, are to lay our lives down. He tells us how. That he might sanctify and cleanse her. Wives, I want you to listen to me for a second. Husbands, you better listen very strongly. This is your job. I want wives. I want wives to realize that they have a husband who's given a responsibility to make their wives beautiful. Not to make their wives bitter. Not to make their wives feel like they're second rate. But to exalt her as Christ exalts the church. You know, if you go to Psalms 31, Proverbs 31, you know what the last part of that talks about? When a woman is living her life in light of her calling, what does the husband do? Does he go to the city gate and sit with all the old men and go, man, my wife, oh my gosh, you have no idea what she's like. He exalts her before the men, before the elders of the town. Exalts her as Christ exalts the church. Let's just face it, men, we're selfish. This is God's word. This is not me talking. This is God's word. Men and women, listen up. If we handle our lives as a husband and a wife any different than this, we in our actions are despising the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this is what we've called to do, that we might present her, that he might present her to himself a glorious church. We should be presenting our wives to us as glorious. I mean, there's so many other passages we could go to. It talks about how the wife is the glory of man. As man is the glory of Christ, the woman is the glory of man. Do you treat your wife like she's the glory that proceeds from you? Do you? Now, women, I know I'm being hard on the men. And because I'm being hard on myself. But women, understand what this is, what this means for you, on why you are called to relate to your husband this way, regardless to his unbiblical actions. It's not yours to correct his unbiblical action. It's yours to honor God, to honor Christ, and let the purity of your life, your obedience to God, win him over. That's what that text says. To me, I'm excited about that text. Let that quiet and gentle spirit overflow to your husband. Love him. That's how you love your husband, by following these things. So husbands ought to love his wife is himself. Of course that's true. Because she proceeded from you. If you don't love your hot wife, you hate yourself. How can you hate a part of yourself? We're one flesh. We're so foolish. So ignorant of God's prescription. Look at the glory in marriage. We don't have glory in marriage because we make it about ourselves. That's why. You're miserable? You're miserable in your marriage. Husbands, you know why you're miserable in your marriage? It's not because your wife is unruly. It's because you're irresponsible. Do you think Christ is miserable because of this sinful church? Do you? Huh, no. He finds great joy in sanctifying us. And he loves us and he exalts us. You're miserable, husbands, because you don't obey God. Wives, you're miserable because you don't obey God. It has nothing to do with your husband. These are commands given to both. Stop blaming your spouse for your disobedience. Now, going way too long. So let's get to the meat of this. The meat of this matter. Let's drop down to verse 33. This is the summary of it all. And I think that when we understand this more and more, then for the wife, especially, because this is what we're talking about. This is what the focus is supposed to be, but I can't focus on that unless you husbands are paying attention and that the wives understand the husband's responsibility. Otherwise, she is going to, if a wife does not understand the position that God has put her husband into, then she's only going to relate to you based upon you. And I really don't want my wife relating to me based upon me. Now, I don't want you guys thinking that I'm an abusive man or anything like that. I'm just saying that I know my sins, and I know that I'm not perfect, and I know that I struggle like everybody else to hold to my responsibilities. I want my wife relating to me according to God. You know why? Because it glorifies her. Because it exalts her. If she relates to me because of me, she becomes ugly because she's disobeying God, not me. I want what Christ wants. I want my wife to be beautiful, sanctified. So if I can see my wife living this out in spite of me, what does the Word of God say? Wins me over. Wins me over. Don't think you wives don't affect your husbands. Don't think you can't have an extremely positive effect on your husbands. But it can only be done if you follow the prescription. Because, you know, really what we all desire is the opposite of this. So, verse 33. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular, each one of you husbands in this room, particular, love your wife as yourself. See her as coming from you. You treat her like she's some foreign object that's entered your life. Remember, it's your job to cleanse her and to sanctify her. Your job to teach her. Your job to even train her in a large way. We have passages of scriptures that talk about that. It's your job. Your wife is acting the way she's acting with you. Maybe it's because, well, and I say maybe because it doesn't have to be. I mean, we all have our own personal sins. But I can assure you, if you're treating her harshly, if you're treating her with disrespect and dishonor, if you are treating her as though she's less than you, what are you complaining about? You brought it on yourself. You're the responsible one. So here it says that husbands, love your wives as yourself. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. That word right there, respect, summons up everything else we just see. Because this word respect is the same word that is used for revering God. The word is revere. The word is fear. It has to do with that godly fear that we have of Christ. A wife is to reflect that into her husband. Because she respects and honors his calling in her life. And I want you to understand something. It is for her life. It is not over. It is for. Do not misuse this as though you have an ability to. A wife. Let me rephrase this. A husband should not love his wife with an iron fist or love her under his feet, but under a wing of love and care. Cherishing her. If we went through the rest of 1 Peter there, we find that a husband is to honor his wife as a precious jewel. She should be the most precious thing in your life. That means when she's ugly, you love her. Don't break her. She breaks easy because she's a beautiful, your most prized possession, as this church is the most prized possession of Jesus Christ. Do you treat your wife like that? Or do you hinder her from, do you hinder her from this? Do you cause her to stumble? Please, wives, do not think I just justified your disobedience. But husbands, you cannot ignore the fact that you will cause your wives to stumble. Shame on us. Shame. Shame on us for despising Christ. So what does all this mean? When we think about the idea of a wife is to respect your husband, is to revere, is to have a holy fear of his position. See, that's what it's about. It's not about, she should not be afraid of her husband. Like, I'm not afraid of Christ, but I have fear because I know who he is. I know what his role is in the church. It's a holy fear. It's a reverence. It's an idea of recognizing who he is. And so a wife is to recognize who her husband is according to God's prescription, not according to him. Because if she understands the weight that is truly upon a husband, as he is supposed to carry the weight in that marriage that God, that Christ carries. So that is how a wife is to love her husband, is to revere that reality of what God has done, not what he has done. Because there's not a man in here that deserves to be revered by his wife because of what he has done. Just as like there is no wife in here that truly deserves to be loved as Scripture tells us, love her, because you know what? Not one of us deserve to be loved by Christ. Get it straight. If we would all, if the husband and wife would live in undivided devotion to God, then we would obey these commands. But if you are in undivided devotion to your husband or to your wife, then you're looking at your wife and your husband and going, I'm going to determine what I'm going to do based upon him or based upon her. I'm glad Christ doesn't love me that way. Or I'd go to hell. See, this is the point, guys. This is all, it's about the glorification of God. It's about letting this play out. So let's look at this for a minute. I want us to understand a little more. I want the... Again, this is going to... I mean, wives, I really want you to listen to this. I want you to understand the responsibility that your husband bears, because it'll help you to understand, to revere your husband, to love him in this way. But husbands, you better put your shoes on. You better be ready to understand the weight you carry with your wife. I mean, it shouldn't be hard if you just look at the weight that Christ carries for this church. Open your Bibles to Numbers. See, this is what's created by the scripture. Ephesians 5 actually gives us a really good a better explanation of everything we see in Numbers. This principle, the principles that we see in Scripture about a husband and a wife has been there since the beginning. So a wife is to love her husband in this way, both because of the created order and by prescription, by command. Both of those elements are true. And a husband is to love his wife in the way that is prescribed here, both by order of creation and by command. If we do anything else, and I'm struggling here because I'm talking about myself. If husbands or wives do anything other than what this is telling us to do, we despise the gospel. This is our safety net. He tells us what's good for us. We must embrace that, whether we like it or not, whether it comes against our sinful nature or not, whether it comes against our presuppositions about the culture around us or not. This is the culture of the church. So look at Numbers. Let's talk about responsibility. I don't like this passage. It terrifies me. But it makes me think about what Christ deals with us, what he's doing for us. I'm going to read through this. I'll stop in places. So, then Moses spoke to the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded." Do you understand where this command comes from? The Lord commands this. This is the Lord's prescription. This is God's order of things. Do not despise God's order. It terrifies me for all of us if we despise God's order. It's what God is saying. If a man makes a vow. Now, understand that when we're talking about this, and we're talking about vows, we're talking about all these things, this has a much broader situation. This is not like just some aspect of, I'm signing a contract. Can be any kind of agreement, and we'll see that in here. Any kind of decision that is made is what this is talking about. It literally has to do with the decisions of life, the decisions that have to be made. Okay? So if a man makes a vow, a decision, an agreement to the Lord, or swears an oath to bind himself to any agreement, to some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. Who's responsible for what comes out of a man's mouth? The man. He has nobody to protect him. He has nobody's wing to go under. Because he represents Christ. Because he holds the same value in his home that Christ holds to his church. Christ's word is held accountable by his word. A man is held accountable by his word. If I make a decision, the responsibility of that decision falls on me, not on anybody else. I am responsible for my decision, for my actions. I am solely responsible for those things as a man, as a husband. Now, I'm going to read through some of this that doesn't necessarily directly apply, but I want to just keep this flow going. Now, or if a woman makes a vow to the Lord and binds herself by some agreement while in her father's house in her youth, and her father hears her vow, and the agreement by which she has bound herself, and her father holds his peace, then all her vows shall stand. And every agreement with which she has bound herself shall stand. But if the father overrules her on that day that he hears, then none of her vows nor agreements by which she has bound herself shall stand. The Lord will release her because her father overruled her. If indeed she takes a husband, while bound by her vows or by a rash utterance, see, this is what I'm talking about. It's literally talking about anything that's said, a rash utterance from her lips, by which she bound herself, and her husband hears it and makes no response to her on that day that he hears it, then her vows shall stand, and her agreements by which she bound herself shall stand. But if her husband overrules her on that day that he hears it, he shall make void her vow which she took, and what she uttered with her lips by which she bound herself, the Lord will release her. Also, any vow of a widow or divorced woman by which she has bound herself shall stand against her. If she vowed in her husband's house or bound herself by an agreement with an oath, and her husband heard it and made no response to her and did not overrule her, then all her vows shall stand, and every agreement by which she bound herself shall stand. But if her husband truly made them void on the day he heard them, then whatever proceeded from her lips concerning her vows or concerning the agreement binding her, it shall not stand. Her husband has made them void, and the Lord will release her. Every vow, every binding oath to afflict her soul, her husband may confirm, or her husband may make it void. Now, if her husband makes no response, whatever to her from day to day, then he confirms all her vows or all her agreements that bind her. He confirms them because he made no response to her on that day that he heard them. But if he does make them void after he has heard them, then he shall bear her guilt. The husband is responsible for everything a wife does. That's the point of what I'm saying here. The responsibility of the wife's actions, of any decision that she makes, is either confirmed or avoided by her husband. So you keep your mouth shut, you confirmed it. You see, that's the point. The responsibility is yours regardless. It is on the man. He shall bear her guilt. Wives, I want you to think about that in light of how you revere your husband and how you love your husband. He bears your guilt, just as Christ has borne our guilt. Men, are you terrified yet? Do you understand that this is yours? I don't care whether or not you want to accept it, whether you want to believe it. I don't care whether you want to avoid it. It doesn't change that this responsibility is not something you accept or reject. It is a decreed responsibility given to you by God. So wives, why do you love your husbands the way that God tells you to love them? Because there's nothing in your life that he's not responsible for. Think about that. When you go and do things, when you make decisions, and cares less about what your husband has to say about it, you go and do things in a way that are harmful, you have brought guilt on your husband. He bears your guilt. He bears your guilt. You do not bear his. Husbands, are you terrified? This is our responsibility, and you can't give it up. And you know what? Your wife's a sinner. Now we get an idea of what Christ goes through. So wives, I want you to think about something in this text. This is given in relationship to Christ and his church. So if what God has commanded here is so, which I don't think anyone's going to stand up and say, oh, throw that out of the Bible. It's God's word. Then you must understand that what is happening here is in light of what God Christ has done for the church. It is a protection for you. God has given the decision making, the rule of the home to the husband so that he may protect the most precious thing in his life. Now, maybe he doesn't always feel that way. I mean, our nature's getting away all the time. But remember, what I'm talking about here is God's prescription. And if we go, well, that just doesn't seem right, doesn't feel right, it doesn't look right, then we are saying that we know something better than God does. This is God's prescription for a godly, responsible marriage. So the wife is responsible in this situation to yield to her husband. The husband is responsible to protect his wife. My wife makes decisions all the time. And I say nothing, which means I've confirmed it. I confirmed that decision she made. You know what? If my wife makes a bad choice, a bad decision, and I know it, I don't say anything. You know what I did? I confirmed. That's on me. On me by confirming it. I see the weight of my wife's decisions fall on me. So young men, maybe hoping to be married, you ready for that? Are you? Are you ready to have to carry this type of responsibility? And again, I'm only reading one passage. If you want to understand more about what your responsibility is for a wife, then look at Christ and his responsibility for the church. Wives, you want to know how to love your husband, how to respect your husband, how to revere your husband, then look about how Christ says the church is to revere him. That is the prescription for our lives. And it's for our good. In our flesh, none of this feels good. I'm going to be honest with you. In my flesh, I hate this fact. Why should I have to be responsible for things my wife does? Why? Why should I have to be responsible for sins? Why should I have to be responsible for anything she does? Why is that fair? Because it's the same fairness that Christ showed in loving us. It's not about fairness. It's about love. It's about the reality of what God has called us to in this life for our good. For our good. As husbands and wives, we should call ourselves into question every day. Wives, are you loving your husbands according to what we find in Scripture? or according to your opinions and ideas, according to your whims, according to your likes and dislikes, according to whatever, then you're not loving your husband. Husbands, are you loving your wives according to your own ideas, your own opinions, your own whims? You're not loving your wife. As a matter of fact, to do anything opposite of this shows two things. First of all, you hate your spouse. But most importantly, you hate Christ. Because that's what this is really about. It's about our God. To live in any other way is to despise the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why it's terrifying. Because I know I'm a sinner. I know I struggle. And I do not want to despise my wife. And I do not want to despise God. So I have to make it a point to love my wife like Christ loves me, like Christ loves the church. At whatever it cost me, my pride, my desires, my hopes and my dreams. And the wife must have the same attitude on how she loves her husband. But it's a lot harder than we thought it was going to be. Oh, just make your spouse happy. That's how you love them. I don't see that anywhere in Scripture. I see the opposite. Matter of fact, we see that if all you're seeking to do is to please your spouse, your focus is on the world. My hope for my wife is not that I make her happy, but that she's sanctified and cleansed and is a beautiful, radiant bride that I can even present to Christ. It's so much better than trying to make somebody happy, because I can never make my wife happy. I'm not capable of it. Why? Why can't we just take the prescription God has given to us? And deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Christ. If we don't, we cannot obey God's commands to love one another. It is a sacrifice. We sacrifice our natures, sacrifice our personal aspirations for the sake of what God says. And if we would do this, I think we'd find ourselves much happier, much more contented. So husbands, you're responsible. Take care of her. Prize her. Cherish her as Christ cherishes the church. Wives, revere your husbands. Love him with respect and honor according to what God has laid upon him for you. It's all about what God has done, not about how well your spouse lives up to this. Love him. Let's pray. Most glorious God and Father, forgive us, Father. Boy, do we struggle. But your word is here, and you're giving us all that we need. Why do we push it aside? Why do we put other things in front of what you say is good so we can grab what we think is good? Help us, Father. Help us. Let the word that we have laid bare today affect us, overwhelm us. Help us, Father, to glorify you in how we love each other, especially in our marriages, according to the texts we've been looking at today. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' holy and precious name.